Tonight, we have a special award that we are going to present, and I think everyone here has read Flying Magazine, and everyone here has loved the contributions of Gordon Baxter. Tonight, we are going to have Tom Benenson. He's the senior editor of the Flying Magazine, to present the Backseat Award. Tom?
Good evening. I'm going to present the award in a couple minutes, but first I want to talk a little bit about the award itself and then about Gordon Baxter. In 1997, we decided that Gordon Baxter should be honored by the presentation of an award in his name for a contribution to aviation writing, to someone who communicates the excitement and the romance of grassroots aviation. Gordon was an interesting man. If you didn't know him, I'm sorry for you. When I first started with Flying Magazine about 15 years ago, I was Gordon's keeper. Gordon had problems getting to things on time because he couldn't walk across Oshkosh without somebody stopping him. And when they stopped him, he insisted on speaking with them for as long as they wanted to talk to him. Gordon, come on, we have to go. You're supposed to be giving a forum about 10 minutes ago.
It's okay.
Anyway, Gordon was a wonderful, wonderful man. He had an incredible sense of humor. He joined the Army Air Corps, but he washed out in flight training and a steerman. Eventually, in the late 50s, he finally got a private license. His first flight was when he was 10. In 1933, he paid $5 for a ride in a Curtiss Condor. And maybe that's the impetus for young eagles. You get a young kid flying and he wants to do it for the rest of his life. He started with flying because Archie Trammell, who was the editor at the time, happened to be in Texas, and he heard Gordon give a talk at a civic club meeting. And afterwards, Gordon gave him three copies of articles he had written for a local newspaper, and they were the first three columns that appeared in Flying Magazine. One was called Hound Dog, one was called Cross City, and one was called The Wide Job. His shortest column, and I'm going to read it to you, but don't get nervous, was published in 1973, and it'll give you some flavor for the sort of things that Gordon wrote. This was his column. Naked City Airport, Indiana. Turf strip overrun with parked cars of a crowd of 7,000 who came to view 50 naked girls vying for the title of Miss Nude America and four naked parachute jumpers. Unable to obtain other data, notebook was with my clothes. Gordon once told me, you know, people would come up to him at the airport here at Oshkosh and practically get on their knees and pray to the man. But he told me he's only famous within 2 miles of an airport. But he was very famous when he was at an airport. In 1978, he published a book of his columns called Backseat, and the editors at Flying wrote a preface for the book. And the preface said, "Bax tries to pass himself off as a pilot, but don't believe him. He never could fly worth a damn. But Gordon feels airplanes, loves and honors them in the ways the rest of us are ashamed to admit." Well, he got his private license in 1957. He started writing for Flying in 1970. And he got some pressure from Flying to get some more advanced degrees, and he got his multi-engine, he got his commercial, and when he was working on his instrument, he wrote a column, and he had a line in that column that explained what he thought about instrument flying. The line was, "Instrument flying, I had concluded, is an unnatural act, probably punishable by God." He wrote about things that made the rest of us feel comfortable about difficulties we had in flying. He wrote about being so airsick that he couldn't fly. He wrote about losing his medical, which was one of the most poignant articles that he wrote, and many people have kept that one for years. I miss Gordon. Everybody, even today, people come up to me and ask me how Gordon is. Of course, he's not any longer. They remember his writing, and one of the nicest things is to be compared to Gordon Baxter. If somebody says to me, "You write like Gordon," or "That story made me think of Gordon," that makes me feel proud. And tonight I'm proud to present the Backseat Trophy to Steve Krog. Steve started flying at the age of 12. Here's another testament for the Young Eagles program. He got a ride when he was 12, went on to earn his private in 1969. He eventually earned his commercial instrument and multi-engine ratings. He established Cub Air Flight, a primary flight school for sport and private pilot students who want to learn in a tailwheel airplane. He also provides tailwheel training for vintage aircraft owners. His passion for aviation can be seen in the articles that he writes, which appear in newsletters for the Luscombe Association, the Cub Club, Taylor Craft Owners Club, Zen Air, American Waco Club, and recently he started writing about flight instruction in the Reach for the Sky, the EAA's online newsletter. Steve was an advisor to the Vintage Aircraft Association from 1996 to 1999, and has served as the director on the board since 1999. He and his wife, Sharon, who is also a pilot, own several aircraft. They own a lot of aircraft, including a 1929 Brunner Winkel Bird, a 1941 Piper J5A Cruiser, have a 1945 Piper J3, a 1946 Piper PA-12 Super Cruiser, and a 1947 Luscombe 8E. They've been volunteers at Air Venture for more than 10 years, and they own and manage the Cub Club, the Luscombe Association, and the Taylor Craft Owners Club. I'm proud and honored to present the 2008 Backseat Trophy to Steve Krog. Steve? I'll read the trophy. It says, "The Backseat Trophy Flying Magazine is proud to recognize EAA member Steve Krog for perpetuating the Gordon Baxter tradition of communicating the excitement and romance of flight, 2008. It's an important thing to do, and he's done it beautifully. Steve, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I'm seldom at a loss for words, but I am tonight. I'd certainly like to first thank Tom, Flying Magazine, and certainly the Gordon Baxter and all that he brought to grassroots aviation. And I'd like to thank the folks back at Hartford, where I'm based, for all their help and support. And especially my wife, Sharon, who 2 years ago two years ago, she had listened to me complain enough about what I'd done for the last 31 and a half years and follow my dream. And I can truly say I'm living my dream today, giving instruction in J3 Cubs and writing about fun stuff in aviation. And with that, thank you very much.
And now, as Lincoln said, we will start the awards presentation in great earnest. On behalf of the officers, directors, and staff, and members of the Vintage Aircraft Association, we welcome you to this awards presentation. I'm Dave Clark, one of the antique judges, and tonight we're here to present the awards that are the best of the best in the world of antique, classic, and contemporary. I'm going to skip over the words and the dates and so forth. I think that's published everywhere because we got started just a little bit late. Our judges, they have many, many long years of experience, some a lot longer than others. And most of them, or at least a great deal of them, are at least ANP or IA, flight instructors, ex-airline pilots, who have many years of experience too. And I would ask, are there any judges in the audience? Would you please stand and be recognized? Judges? Thank you very much. I tell you what the judges look for primarily is when the airplane rolled out of the hangar at the factory, whatever factory it might have been, whatever that airplane looked like then was what we look for. We look for two things, authenticity and workmanship. And those are the two things that we primarily go by. The judge's reward is generally for all the week of work, day and night, and we make them ride around those nasty golf carts. That's kind of a benefit. The judge's reward is generally a coffee cup and a firm handshake. So we appreciate the applause that you've given them. We also have a special congratulations as we are presenting these awards from our Vintage Aircraft Association president, Jeff Robinson. Jeff, would you stand up and be recognized, please? Jeff Robinson, our president. The first award that we're going to be giving is theoretically out of order just a little bit, but for many years, a friend of mine and friend of all of our board members, he was a board member, he was for many years the chief judge of all of the vintage judges, Dean Richardson. Dean passed away this few months ago, and we have made a special preservation award called the Dean Richardson Preservation Award, and we have two recipients, and we're going to give those first in his honor and his recognition. Dean was a fellow who always was there to help. He was always there to answer a question with a big smile on his face, and I talked to him just a couple days before he passed away, asking him a question, and I could tell he was quite ill, and he answered the question, and he told me, thanks for calling, Dave. So he was really a good friend to everybody. And I believe we have Wendy and some of the Richardson family in the audience. Would they like to come up and present, or some of you present the awards? We'd love to have you do that. Wendy is Dean's wife. Right out here, that's fine. They'll bring the awards over here to you. The first award is the Dean Richardson Preservation Award, and it goes to November 3469 Echo, a 1947 Aronca 11AC owned by Ray Johnson of Marion, Indiana. Is Ray here? I think Ray? Bill, did you say Ray is here? Okay, would you accept an award for him? Okay, step forward, sir. This accepting for Ray Johnson is Bill Pancake, the chief guru of all of Aronca. This is Ray Johnson, 1947 Aronca, 11AC chief. And Ray Johnson is from Marion, Indiana, and I live in Plainfield, Indiana, and I had a lovely flying Aronca 11AC chief that Ray came down many times to say, where does this go? How does this fasten? What does this do? And after he did that and made his beautiful, mine was eaten by a tornado. So I'm still repairing it again. You have the award here? Bill, would you accept that? Let you folks give that. And the second award is for November 5160, a 1952 Rawdon T1 to Phil and Terry Chastain. Are they here? Phil Colson is going to accept the award for them. And this is the third generation. The young lady flew this here. She's the third generation of pilots to fly this airplane. And now presenting the contemporary awards. We present the contemporary awards, the classic awards, and then the antique awards. Presenting for the contemporary awards will be Dan Knutson. He's the chairman of the contemporary awards committee. Dan is the much taller one. And Tim Popp is his co-chairman, vice chairman. For outstanding Beechcraft single engine, November 6855, Quebec, 1964, Beech S35, owned by Mario Sotolongo. Is Mario here? I might mention that a lot of people saw the good weather in toward Thursday and Friday, and some of them have told us they would have to sneak out to make use of the good weather. Outstanding Beech multi-engine is November 565 Uniform Sierra, 1959 Beech G18, owned by Rasmus Nielsen. How about Rasmus? Is he here? The next is an outstanding Belanca. That's a November 7346 Victor, 1969 Belanca 17-30, owned by Rich Moling. Rich. The next is outstanding Cessna 175, 172, 170. It's November 5054 Alpha, 1956 Cessna 172, owned by Gary Grippenmore. Grippenpre. There's Gary. You're welcome, sir. You deserved it. You earned it. Outstanding Cessna 180, 182, 210 is a November 65 Lima Gulf, 1965 Cessna 180H, owned by Kathleen Royer. Is Kathleen here? Got a Kathleen Royer fan down here anyway. There she is. The next is Outstanding Mooney, and it is November 6242 Uniform, 1962 Mooney M20C, owned by Donald McGetkin. Donald, not here. Outstanding Piper PA-22 Tri-Pacer, November 7409 Delta, 1957 PA-22-150. Owned by Donald Bartlett. Donald is not here. Next is outstanding Piper PA-24 Comanche, November 8897 Papa, 1966 Piper PA-24-260, owned by Ray Fay. Thank you. It is kind of tricky with the light shining in your eyes. Outstanding limited production is November 6529, Quebec, 1966, Elan A2, owned by Roger Baglin. Roger here. Best continuously maintained aircraft is a 5433 Papa, 1959 Piper PA-24, 180, owned by Joseph Judge. Joseph here. The next are the classic awards. And presenting is Steve Bender, is the chairman of the awards, and Jerry Gipner is vice chairman. The Classic Award, September 45 through 1955. The first is Outstanding Iraqi Champ, as a plaque, and it is a 1946 Iraqi 7AC, November 1890 Echo, owned by Bill Pancake. Oh, Bill still might be, we'll give him that plaque. He might be taking the picture yet. Little brain lapse. The next is Outstanding Balanka. And that is November 74241, a 1946 Balanka 1413, owned by Jonathan Hardwick. Jonathan here. You bet, you may accept the award for him, sir. Come right ahead.
And
okay.
From Butler County, Cincinnati.
Okay, and what's your name, sir?
Todd Flaherty.
Todd Flaherty is accepting the award.
Okay.
The next is Outstanding Cessna 12140. It's November 76189, 1946, Cessna 120, owned by D. Troy Westrom. Mr. Westrom here. The next is Outstanding Cessna 170-180. That is November 1424 Delta, 1951 Cessna 170A, owned by Don Lindholm. Is Don here? Next is Outstanding Cessna 190-195. And that is a 1952 Cessna 195A, November 25, Bravo, Bravo, by Bo Bradley. Bo Bradley. Congratulations on all your hard work. The next is Outstanding Air Coupe, and it's November 99564, 1946, Air Coupe 415C, owned by Dennis Spiegel. Is Dennis here? We obviously mail all these lovely prizes to everyone afterward. Next is Outstanding Luscombe. It's November 48 Romeo Romeo, a 1949 Luscombe 8F, owned by Joe Champagne. Is Joe here? Next is Outstanding Navion. November 8969 Hotel, a 1947 North American Navion, owned by Gary Rankin. Is Gary here? The next is Outstanding Piper J3, and that's November 70971, 1946 Piper Cub J365 by Raymond Cook. Raymond, the J3 is very close to my heart. October the 8th this year will be the 50th anniversary of my first flying lesson in 1958 in a Piper Cub J3. So it's close to my heart. The next is Outstanding Piper, and that is a 1948 Piper PA-17, November 4612 Hotel by James Hudgen. Is James here? Next is Outstanding Stenson, November 8055 Kilo, 1947 Stenson 108-2 by Earl Munitz. Earl. The next is Outstanding Swift, November 78271, 1948 Globe Swift GC1B, owned by the Swift Museum Foundation. Is someone here to accept that award? Someone is here. The next is Outstanding Limited Production Aircraft, November 94245, a 1949 Booker BU-181 by Richard Epton. Is Richard here? The next, still in the classic category, is the Custom Class, 0 to 80 horsepower. And I thought the 0 horsepower might be a sailplane, but I wasn't positive. The aircraft is November 3506 Echo, 1947, Aranca 7AC, owned by Lawrence Gilderman. It's Lawrence. There they are. Lawrence, I have to tell you, Lawrence, that I wrote the information you told me about Tim and announcing his name on a piece of paper, and at a meeting someone said, Dave, can I have a piece of paper? That's what senility does for you. The next is Custom Class B, 81 to 150 horsepower, and that's November Charlie, 81137, a 1946 Funk B85C by Merrill Blaylock. It's Merrill here. There he comes. And while they're taking the picture, I'll announce the next one, the Custom Class 150 to 235 horsepower. It's a November 3303 Kilo, 1946 Temco, GC1B, owned by Hal Cope. Is Hal here? The next is Custom Class D, 236 horsepower and higher. It's November 6325 Kilo, 1947 Republic RC3 CB, owned by James Nesgoda. Is James here? The next, we have some awards from the Antique Division. And presenting awards will be the first awards. Our chairman is Dale Gustafson, and the co-chairman is Don Coleman. The first is Customized Aircraft Outstanding. That's November Charlie 1227, a 1940 Howard, DGA 15, owned by Kenneth Crutzfeld. Is Kenneth here? The next is Bronze Age Outstanding Closed Cockpit Monoplane. It's November 19498, 1939 Cessna C-165. It's owned by Glenn Larson. Is Glenn here? The next is Bronze Age Outstanding Open Cockpit Monoplane. It's November 8146, 1940 Ryan STA Special, owned by Gary Kozak. Is Gary? Gary's not here, but his fan club is. The next is Bronze Age Outstanding Open Cockpit Biplane, and that is 1941 de Havilland Tiger Moth, Charlie Foxtrot Tango Bravo Sierra, owned by Arnold Curtis. I think they said they had to go home, but is Arnold here? No. Silver Age Outstanding Closed Cockpit Biplane is November 16522, 1936 Waco YKS-6 by John Thompson. Wonderful work, John. The next is a Silver Age Outstanding Open Cockpit Biplane. It's November 392 Victor, 1929 Zenith, Z6A, owned by Glenn Peck. I believe Glenn had to leave. And this was the big red airplane next to the Boeing that you saw, the big commercial type airplane, old biplane, mail plane. And they only made five of those aircraft. The next are the classic judges again. And we have one plaque by the classic judges. Don't go too far, Gus. Have just one plaque. And that's best custom runner-up. That's November 4567 Charlie, 1953 Cessna 170B, owned by Michael Lewis. Michael, there he is. The next is the Antique Division. That is a Customized Aircraft Runner-Up. It's November 30107, a 1940 Waco UPF-7, owned by John Leepin. Is John here?
He's not here, Dale.
Okay. Accepting the award for John is Jeremy Rose. Thank you, Jeremy. The next is World War II era runner-up, and that's November 19493, 1949 Beach D-17, Jay Holmquist. Is Jay Holmquist here? If not, we have the Bronze Age runner-up, That's November 180LN, Lima, November 1941, Waco, UPF 7, owned by Larry Boehm. It's Larry here. Jeremy will take another award. Silver Age runner-up is November 4942 Victor, a 1929 Curtiss Wright Travel Air 6000A, owned by John Siebold. I believe John is here. Is this Sammy?
Yeah.
This is Sammy Siebold.
Is he?
He's the 11-year-old grandson of John Siebold, who owns the Grand Canyon Airline. The next we have is the contemporary bronze Lindy's. Class 1 single engine, 0 to 160 horsepower, is November 14 Tango X-Ray, 1963 Cessna 150C, owned by Bob McBride. Is Bob here? The next we have is Class 2 single engine, 161 horsepower to 230 horsepower. That is November 65 Kilo Foxtrot, 1968 Piper PA-28R 180. By Roger Flowisks. Is that Roger? You could get in the picture with him. Get in the picture with him. There you go. Good job. Congratulations. Class 3 single engine, 231 horsepower and up, bronze Lindy, is November 9171 Papa, a 1967 Piper PA-24-260, owned by Thomas McKim. Is Thomas here? The next is a custom multi-engine, and that is November 8871 Yankee, a 1970. It does not say. I'm sorry, it's just a 1970. Owned by Bob Tanner. Bob is not here. The next is outstanding customized, and that is November 90 Tango Tango 1957, a Beach 18, owned by Tony Miller. Here comes Tony. What's your name?
Harry Sheets.
Harry Sheets is the pilot who brought the aircraft in. Thank you, Harry. Now we have the classic bronze Lindy's. The first aircraft is November 96130, a 1946 Taylor Craft BC, owned by Joel Severinghouse. Is Joel here? The next is, don't see Joel. The next is Class 2, 81 horsepower to 150 horsepower by Rick McClellick, 3314A Alpha, 1953 Piper PA-22. Here comes Rick. PA-22s are close to my heart too, Rick. I have one of those also. The next is Class 3, 151 to 235 horsepower, November 505 X-ray, 1952 Beech, C-35, Doug Gravatt. It's Doug here. Here's Doug. The next is class 4, 236 horsepower and up, bronze Lindy, and it is a November 195 Bravo Lima, 1952 Cessna 195 by Jonathan Scholl. Is Jonathan here? Here he is. The next is the Best Custom. It's a bronze Lindy. November 1071 Kilo, 1946 Luscombe 8A, owned by Dwayne Osterhaus. Is Dwayne here? There he is. The next is the antique division of the bronze Lindys. The champion transport category bronze Lindy goes to November 135 Mike Golf, 1943 Grumman G44. That is owned by Brian Van Wagen. Van Wagen is Brian here. Next is customized aircraft champion. November 32071, 1941 Waco UPF-7, owned by Jay Hill. There he is. The next is World War II area champion, the bronze Lindy. November 600 Zulu Echo, 1944 Grumman, G21A, owned by Bill Rose. Anybody want to accept for Bill Rose? Okay. The next is Bronze Age champion. November 22410, 1940, Howard DGA 15P, and that is owned by Michael Vaughn. Is Michael here? The next is a Silver Age champion, November Charlie 7286, 1929, new standard, D25A, owned by Ted Davis. Ted? The next we have, here he comes. I think Ron Price is going to accept for Ted. It's Ted and Chris. Accepted by Ron Price. The next is a contemporary reserve grand champion. And that is a silver Lindy. And that is November 234 Mike, a 1963 Beach Travel Air, owned by Mark Malone and Miles Malone. Are they here? Here they are. The next is a classic reserve grand champion, the silver Lindy. It's November 4477, 1952 Beach D18, owned by Chris Parrish. Is Chris here? Here they come. Congratulations, fellas. The next is Antique Reserve Grand Champion. That is a silver Lindy. It's November 15700-1935 Waco YPF, owned by Jerry Winger. Is Jerry here? Here he is. You guys got to accept it for him. The brothers. This year we have a new sponsor, and we have the Tissot Watches Company, and it's a new partner of EAA and AirVenture. We're honored to present the Gold Lindy Award winners with a beautiful Tissot watch honoring the shared values of pioneering craftsmanship and innovation to each of the Grand Champion winners, and we appreciate their help. The Contemporary Grand Champion is November 78797, 1969 Cessna 172K. And that's owned by Stephanie Allen. Stephanie? And for this family, the Allen family, this is the third time that they've had an award winner here at Oshkosh, this family. Yeah. The Classic Grand Champion, Gold Lindy, November 70111, 1946 Piper J3C65, Joe Dobransky. Joe. The Antique Grand Champion, the Gold Lindy, which is the best you can get, is going to 5339, 1928 Boeing 40C, owned by Addison Pemberton, accepting outstanding, gorgeous airplane. Accepting for Addison, at Addison's request, is Sammy Siebold. Sammy still here? There he is. That concludes the awards, but we have another wonderful program coming, and I would like to, can't pass up the opportunity to, my wife tells me that I have been here forever working on my airplane. Judy, you have a massage?
We're going to do the video.
Do the video instead of this?
No.
Before. Okay. We're flexible.
Okay, there you are.
No problem, Judy. Anyway, what I started to say was that the hours I spend out in my workshop with my wife looking out the window, if I'm still working, and for years and years, and I have one of the EAA signs, when will it be finished? Won't be finished until it's finished, and I'm not going to fly it before it's finished, so don't ask me again. All the people who have worked on all these absolutely gorgeous airplanes, all of you folks realize how much effort, how much talent, and how much energy, and sometimes a little bit of money occasionally. And we really want to thank you not only for coming and bringing the airplanes, but for coming to Oshkosh and being a part of everything that we love, airplanes. And as Paul Povarezny says many times, the airplanes are fantastic. The main thing is you. The main thing is all the people and all the friends we make and the people we see every year, year after year. So I'd like to applaud all you folks.